Fido meows at Harper in greeting and offers her his chin for petting.
Oh, you little honey bear, I told you I'd be here to feed you your special tiger diet. I would never forget you.
He rubs his furry cheek against her breast, and I whimper. The lucky bastard. Then he has the audacity to stretch out his paw and rest it on the exposed flesh of her chest. I think Fido was trying to feel you up. Harper laughs and scratches his chin. He snuggles even closer to her. Man, this cat has it bad. Come pet him. He's sweet, she says. I move closer and rub his ears. As I stroke him, Harper absently touches my hair. The cat stops purring. He stares at us, at her hand on me, as if he's cataloging every move we make. Maybe I'm hallucinating, but I swear he narrows his beady eyes. Harper puts him down, fills his food bowl, and sets it on the floor. As he eats, she changes the litter and then washes her hands. After she dries them, she runs a hand down the cat's back. He arches into her as he chows down on the rest of his dinner. See, Fido won't tell our secret. He has a little crush on me, and all he wants is for me to come back tomorrow. We head to the door, but when I glance back at him, he's no longer eating. He trots to Harper, meowing loudly and rubbing his side against her. I'll come back soon, handsome, she tells him, as he turns around and rubs his other side on her calf, his tail swishing high in the air. My eyes pop out. The cat is marking her with his scent. Back off, I say to him. She's mine. Harper laughs. You two having a sword fight? Yeah, and I'm going to win. We leave, and once we're in the elevator and safely away from the pervy cat, I press a kiss to her chest where his paw was. Are you actually jealous of a cat? She asks. Jealous of Simon, jealous of a feline. Evidently, I'm the territorial one when it comes to this woman, and my possessiveness knows no bounds. I would be if I wasn't completely confident that I'll be stripping you down to your bows and garters and having my paws all over you tonight, I say, low and husky. A feathery gasp escapes her throat.
I like your paws.
When we reach the street, I crane my neck to check out the sixth floor. Who's there but Fido in the window staring at us? Probably preparing a report for his master. I swear I'll quit when Spencer returns in a week. I will. I really will. Chapter 24. Harper spins around, walking backward on the sidewalk, mischief tap dancing in her blue eyes. A bus rumbles by, spewing exhaust, and a cab honks its horn as it swerves into the next lane. We're on the edge of the village. Any idea where I'm taking you? She asks, taunting, toying, playing. I bring a finger to my lips. Did you plan a date at the drugstore? I ask, gesturing to the Duane Reed on the corner. Shopping for household goods, perhaps? She makes a buzzer sound. Wrong. Guess again. I check out the options across the street. There's a movie theater, so that's a possibility. But Harper's I've got something up my sleeve attitude tells me she's not going for conventional. I cross off the sushi restaurant on the corner for that reason, too. Then I spot it. A few stores away. I can't believe I missed it. Eden, a sex toy shop. This is so very Harper. This might be my favorite date ever, I say, as we near the entrance. I don't know how I'm not going to buy one of everything. She grabs my hand and laces her fingers through mine. It's going to be impossible for you to resist. I'm game to try, though, I say, and turn into the doorway. Like a dog on a leash, I'm jerked back. I nearly stumble into her. What, aren't we going here? I hook a thumb in the direction of the shop. Oh, God, she says, clasping her hand over her mouth. I forgot that was here. Then where are we going, I ask, since 2 and 2 isn't equaling 4 right now. She points across the street to what looks like a huge bathroom store. I didn't want to take you to the movies, or dinner, or bowling, or trapeze lessons, or a museum, even though I know we'd have the best time doing any or all of those things. I wanted to take you someplace you'd never been. Someplace that's very you, she says, as we cross the street and reach the entrance to the Whiteman showroom. And since the only thing you love more than drawing is showers, I thought you might enjoy checking out some of the coolest showers in the world. For several seconds, I'm too surprised to react. This wasn't on my radar screen at all. I wouldn't even have guessed it. But as I gazed into the pristine windows at the displays of model bathtubs and showers with gleaming fixtures and earthy tiles, my heart thumps against my chest. I don't think it's beating this hard because I love showers. It's because I'm floored by her. Her lips are parted slightly, and her eyes are full of anticipation, as if she's waiting for my approval. I can tell she's the tiniest bit worried that I might think this is silly or strange or too different. I don't. I think it's awesome. I've never been on a date to a shower showroom, I say, as I open the door for her, and we head into a paradise for the shower junkie. It's like shower porn, she says, as we wander past the first setup with a waterfall theme and smooth stone tiles. I could spend a whole day in there, I say, sighing happily as I take it in. You could start taking shower naps. Trust me, I've tried that. She laughs and squeezes my arm. I look at her hand and flash back to all the time she's touched my arm. She was always doing it before, a friendly little pat or a punch now and then, sometimes playful. Now, it's sweetly affectionate. Funny how she has all these different ways of touching me. The next one bills itself as a spa shower, and the display is complete with low lights, dark tiles, and mood music. Is this where they hose you down after you're all oiled up at the spa? Just like this, she says, and steps inside and pretends she's soaping up under the showerhead. May I help you? Harper snaps to attention and meets the gaze of a sharp-dressed saleswoman in a navy pantsuit. Her sleek black hair is twisted in a bun. Why, yes, Harper says, adopting a businesswoman tone. I'm in the market for the absolute best, state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line luxurious shower for the true shower aficionado. What would you recommend? What price range are you considering? Harper laughs like that's the silliest question she's ever heard. Money is no object when it comes to one's predilections. I raise an eyebrow approvingly at Harper for her word choice. Then you'll want a wet room, the woman says, and gestures for us to follow her. Wet room, she whispers, nudging me. Told you it was better than Eden. I loop my arm around her shoulders. Yes, so much better. We weave through floor displays of glassless showers and jets with more modes than Harper's 50-speed wand and clawfoot tubs, too, until we arrive at the centerpiece. This is the Rolls-Royce of showers, the pantsuit woman says, and presents a shower that's bigger than my bedroom and boasts a dozen shower heads, two on each wall and four on the ceiling. She waxes on about the rainfall settings, the steam options, and the quality of the tile, harvested in South America somewhere. I couldn't care less about these details because Harper runs her hand through my hair and asks, "Do you love it?" I know she means the wet room, but when I answer her, I mean something else entirely. And I want her to know that. Yes, this is the coolest date I've ever been on. Her eyes sparkle. Really? This is Harper and all her quirks. This is the way she listens to everything I say, how she soaks up all the details, how she pays attention to every nuance, and then finds a way to be playful and fun. Don't ever change your quirks, I say. Then I brush a kiss to her lips. She shivers against me, and the shower showroom portion of the date needs to end very soon. The saleswoman holds up her finger. Excuse me, there's something I need to take care of. She scurries off. Me too, I say, but I'm talking to Harper, looking at Harper, wanting Harper. Let's order in Chinese at my place. She runs her thumb over my jawline. Does that mean you want to get out of here now? Yes. Chapter 25. We stumble into my apartment, our hands all over each other. Her lips are bruised from how I kissed her in the cab, and her jacket is undone. My fingers find their way to the hem of her V-neck sweater. I want to tear off all her clothes. Can I see my gift now? I've been so good. You've been very good, she says, arching into me. My hands freeze. I stop my travels, remembering my mission and why I'm lucky enough to have my hands on her body right now, to teach her. We almost forgot your lesson tonight. She pulls back and shakes her head briefly, as if she's clearing her thoughts. Lesson, right, lesson. It doesn't take long for me to devise one. Call it an easy lesson plan. Call it my own selfish desire to watch Harper bear all. Giving her an assignment is the easiest thing in the world, because I want her so much. Strip for me. Tossing my jacket on a chair, I park myself on the couch and lace my hands behind my head. Do it nice and slow. She nods, reaching for her jacket. Everything, Professor Hammer? I shake my head as I rake my eyes over her. Take off the jacket, sweater, and skirt. Leave everything else on. That's the lesson. How you can drive a man wild when you're half naked. Do I drive you wild? She asks, as she joins me in the living room and shimmies off the coat. So much, I say, my voice husky and my eyes never straying from her as I nod to her skirt. She unzips it. She takes her time, pushing down one side of the skirt, then the other. I groan as a hint of the soft flesh above her panties is exposed. More? She asks seductively. Take it off, Harper, I say, like a command. Take off the fucking skirt so I can see you. Since that's what you want, she says, letting her voice trail off as she pushes the fabric past her thighs. She lets it fall to the floor, and all the breath flees my body. Her stockings are sheer black, and the garter belt hooks into them, with little bows on the snaps. Her panties are black lace with a tiny pink butterfly pattern. I drag my hand over my face. I'm an inferno. No, wait. I'm lava. Molten. I take a huge breath and rasp out, Jesus fucking Christ. You like? I swallow and nod, because I can't speak. My throat is parched. I make a rolling gesture with my hand, indicating that it's time for the top to get out of the way, too. She crosses her hands at the hem of her sweater and slowly, seductively, lifts her top, revealing a matching bra, the kind that pushes her tits high. I picked this out today. I went lingerie shopping for you, she says, her soft voice wafting over me. You bought this for me? She nods. I wanted something new to wear tonight, something I thought you'd like, she says, a sexy hopefulness in her voice. Do you like the butterflies? Was this what she meant this morning by butterflies? Was it a hint about her lingerie? I have no idea, and at the moment I don't care. I walk over to her and kiss her hard, possessively, claiming her lush mouth with mine. My hand roams to her ass, and I squeeze. She breaks the kiss with an excited, oh. How should I fuck you for the first time? I ask, letting the question linger in the air between us like smoke and heat. She runs her nails down my shirt, working open the buttons. How do you want to? I shake my head. It's not about how I want it. I want to give you all your fantasies. I'm almost tempted to check out your Tumblr feed right now and see what you looked at this morning. Her fingers reach the final button. She opens my shirt and runs her hands over my chest. Her touch is electric. Her index finger traces Hobbs. As she pushes off my shirt, letting it fall to the floor, her hands roam across the swirls of ink on my arms, the stars and the abstract shapes and lines. Her eyes follow her touch, then she blinks up at me. What do you think I looked at this morning? I tuck a finger under her chin. One of your women bent over, ass in the air. That's how you want it. Her eyes widen and her lips part. She nods. That's what I thought. And since I distinctly recall you telling me you wanted to be fucked on the counter, I'm going to grab a condom and when I return, I'd like to see you bent over and ready. She nibbles on the corner of her lips and says, yes. I head to the bedroom, grab a foil packet, remove my glasses, shoes, and socks, and return to find Harper has done exactly as I asked. She looks like one of her fantasies, and mine, too. She's all legs and ass and a gorgeous, flattened back. I close the distance, set the condom on the counter, and take off my jeans. She looks back at me and watches the whole time. When I push off my boxer briefs and my cock springs free, she licks her lips.
I want you, she says in a whimper.
Those three words send a heated charge through me. I bring my hand to my dick and stroke it as she stares. My other hand curls over one round, perfect cheek. She gasps as I touch her. I raise my palm to swat her rear when I catch sight of something sticking out of her purse on the coffee table. Don't move, I say, and I walk away to grab a thin black stick from her purse. I'm so fucking glad you carry that giant bag around with your magic stuff in it. Are you going to spank me with my magic wand? Her tone is laced with excitement. I absolutely am. Because I'm going to retire that one from use after you do it. You bet your sweet ass this little prop is reserved for our dirty tricks now, I say, and I raise the black wand and tap it lightly against her rear, testing her. She inhales sharply. More? I ask, stepping closer to the side of the counter so I can bend to her face and dust a kiss on her lips. She nods, the look in her eyes heated. I lift it again and whack her other cheek. She flinches, but then a soft gasp follows, and I rub my palm over her soft rear. Just to be sure she liked it, I drag a hand between her legs. Holy fuck, this girl is my perfect dirty angel. You're soaked, I rasp out, as I slide my fingers across the damp fabric hugging her pussy. Do it again, she begs. I gladly comply, spanking my naughty magician with her very own magic wand and soothing her with my palm each time, one delicious globe, then the other, then back again, winding her up, making her writhe, drawing out the most delicious noises from her. I kneel and press kisses on her bottom, pulling at the lace with my teeth, inching it closer to the crack of her delicious ass, exposing her flesh. I nibble on her cheek, and she moans. I lavish attention on the other one, giving her everything she wants right where she wants it, nibbling, licking, kissing her soft, sweet skin. As I worship this fantastic rear, Harper whispers my name.
Nick, I need you.
She wants me. She needs me. I have never craved being the object of both more than I do with Harper. I pull down her panties and help her step out of them. My dick throbs as I look at her bare ass, her slick wet pussy, her gorgeous legs, and her face, her eyes so full of desire. You're incredible, I murmur. She pushes the condom at me. She's so damn desperate. I cover my dick, curl a hand around her hip, and rub the tip between her legs. She shudders, arching her back. Oh, princess, I rasp as I rub the head against her heat. I fucking want you so much. She pushes back against me.
I want you too.
Like this, with her bent over my kitchen counter in a black butterfly bra and stockings, I sink into the woman I've been dreaming about for months, and I groan in pleasure. She's divine. So hot. So fucking snug. The intensity of this moment radiates in my body like a hot flare. I'm inside Harper for the first time, and it's so good it's unreal. She moans, and I lower my chest to her, pressing against her back, my lips near her face. Harper, I say, as I ease out, then push in.
Oh, God,
she moans, and it sounds as if she's lost in pleasure. Harper, I say again, my voice rough, commanding.
Yes?
You're perfect like this. I raise my chest, grip her hips with both hands, and thrust. Slow, deep, lingering strokes that have her squirming and begging, saying yes and please and more.
I take my time, making her want it, rocking in and out of her. She circles her hips against me. Her knuckles are white from gripping the counter. I run a hand up her spine, grab a fistful of hair, and tug. She yelps, and the noise transforms into a low, sexy groan as I take her harder. "Deeper," she begs. "I love it when you're so deep in me." Sparks fly down my legs, lust incinerates me, and desire spreads to every cell. She raises her ass higher, sinks lower, gives me more of her body. Each move she makes fans the flames, and I fuck her how she wants it. Deep, hard, passionate. Her breath comes in shudders and reckless pants. Curling my hands tighter around her, I say, "Is this how you wanted it, all those times?" "Yes, God, yes. Is it like your dirty pictures? It's better, so much better." I know what will make it the best. Her lips. I lower my chest to her back, cup a cheek with one hand, and turn her face to mine. This isn't the easiest position, but I don't care. I know what I'm doing, and I fuck her from behind as I kiss her madly, kneading her lips, craving her tongue, wanting this connection. She's so wild beneath me, all moans and murmurs and thrusts, and her tongue seeks mine, her lips pressing hungrily to me. Her pussy is my favorite place in the universe, and she grows even wetter with each kiss, and slicker still with every consuming thrust. We kiss like sloppy, crazed lovers, until she bites down on my lip. She cries out, lets go of my mouth, and utters a throaty, hungry series of "Oh gods!" that are nearly my undoing as she comes hard, calling my name. Somewhere, tingling in my body, I can feel the start of an orgasm, but I'm not ready to stop. I'm not done fucking my girl. I slow down, grit my teeth, and fight off my own release. "I want you to come again," I tell her, my voice rough. She just nods, and that's all I need to know. She's game for multiples. I pull out, my fingers tight around the condom, keeping it on. "Bed, now, on your back, legs spread, leave the shoes on." She's never been to my bedroom, but it's not hard to find, and in seconds she's on the navy blue comforter and open for me. I crawl between her legs and shove back into her. "Oh, fuck," I groan, my cock surrounded by her sweet heat once more. "You're so fucking wet." "You got me that way," she says as I fill her. "You're so fucking sexy. You feel so good." "God, so do you. It drives me wild the way you fuck me," she says, and every word from her mouth gets me hotter. She wraps her legs around my ass and loops her hands around my neck. This is how I want her. "I want to watch your face when you come again. You're so beautiful beneath me. You're so goddamn gorgeous when you come," I say. And she trembles, gripping me tighter, pulling me farther into her. I don't want this to ever stop. I don't want this night to end. I want her over and over. I roll my hips and thrust into her, finding a new rhythm. It's fast, but not frantic. It's intense, but not out of control. It's just fucking perfect, then more perfect when she raises her knees, sliding them up my sides, opening herself even more. "You like that, princess?" I growl, as she widens for me, giving me her body in that position. Her answer is a low, sexy cry of rapture. I drive farther, rolling my hips, hitting her in all the right places. "I can feel you deeper like this, so deep that..." She trails off, her lips near my ear. She draws my earlobe between her teeth and nips. She moans against me, a sexy, beautiful noise as she whispers, "That I'm going to come again." My favorite words from her. I'm so fucking turned on, so fucking crazy for her. "Do it," I groan, as I pump into her, and she grips my ass, digging in, holding on. Her face is pressed to mine as she rocks up. Her body detonates, and she's like a Harper bomb under my hands, a beautiful explosion of lust and sensuality, and so much rapture. That's it. I'm done. I chase her there, pushing deep inside at a fevered pace, my own climax tearing through my body as she shudders beneath me. Our cheeks touch as I come so fucking hard that nothing but incoherent noises fall from my lips, nearly as loud as hers. Because holy fuck, it's so good with her. It's so incredibly good. Her moans don't stop for a long time, nor do mine as I collapse on her. My heart beats furiously. Beads of sweat slick my chest. And I'm so damn happy to have her in my bed, beneath me, with me, next to me. I roll off her, tie the condom, and toss it in the bathroom trash. I return to her, and she's the most beautiful sight ever. Mostly undressed and fucked senseless. By me. Take off the rest of your clothes. I want to feel you naked, I tell her. And I help her slide off the shoes, stockings, and the bra. She's in nothing, just like me. I pull her into my arms. She feels too good to be true. So this is your bedroom, she says, glancing around a few minutes later. My room is simple. Blonde hardwood floors, a king-sized bed, and a bureau with a handful of framed family photos, as well as stacks of sketchbooks and pins. On my wall is a drawing of a duct-taped to bricks, aptly titled Duct Tape. Maybe you'll show me your bedroom someday soon, I say, as I kiss her neck. Actually, you've seen it. I arch a questioning eyebrow. My apartment is a studio. I sleep on the purple couch. It's a pullout. I have fond memories of what I did to you on that couch yesterday. Had no idea it was your bed, too. She taps my nose. Don't know if you know this, Mr. Brains and Beauty, but Manhattan is a teeny bit expensive, she says, holding up her thumb and forefinger. Especially for an almost 26-year-old magician. I nod, aware that her situation is different than mine. We're both skilled enough to do what we love, but I've had bigger breaks. But I'm lucky to have that place, she adds. My parents bought it years ago as an investment, so I basically rent from them. They wanted to let me live rent-free, but I insisted on paying. Hopefully they gave you a good deal. They did. For a place in the 90s, it's better than rent-controlled. And it lets me live in Manhattan, working kids' parties for the most part. I prop myself up and run my fingers along her hip bone. Is that the end game? I'm not saying you should do more, I'm just curious. I'd like to do a few more corporate events since the pay is better, but for now I'm happy. Would you ever want to do a big grand show like in Vegas? She shrugs. I don't know. I really like working with kids. They're fun and appreciative. And they believe in the illusion. They believe it's all real. You have no idea how badly I want to ask you to show me how to do the pencil trick. You know, I could never do that. She stretches an arm to my nightstand, grabbing a pencil. She presses her finger to my lips. I'm not going to tell you how it's done, she says, then brings her right hand to her nose while her left hand is curved next to it. In a flash, she puts the pencil in her nose. Or so it seems. Equally quickly, the writing implement emerges in her other hand, as if she pulled it out her ear. Even though I know she didn't put the pencil in her head, and even though I'm sure she hid it behind her hand, it's still a cool trick, because it looks real. Her sleight of hand is that smooth. Want me to do it again? I shrug. Sure. This time, she's just as fast, but she swings her leg over my waist as she does the trick, which rolls her an inch closer, giving me the slightest peek at her curved left hand, where she hides the pencil. I smile, awareness hitting me of what she just did. It's a small thing, and a small trick, but it's pure Harper, revealing without exactly revealing, letting me into her world. Now teach me the secret to drawing a great cartoon. She says, playfully demanding. I raise my hand and brush her red strands over her ear. Here's the trick. You have to like what you're drawing, I say, my eyes on her the whole time. She has no clue what I've just told her. She can't have any idea that I've drawn her and how much I like her. So much that it's way beyond like right now. She just smiles and says, Good thing you like drawing a caped crusader who can make a woman arch her back and curl her toes in pleasure, especially since you're so good at that, too. Screw Fido. Screw that stupid jealousy. Fuck any jealousy. Right now, all I feel is 100% satisfaction over a job well done. Speaking of jobs, would you want to come to a work party with me? I ask. Then I explain about the cocktail party that Serena asked me to attend this Friday. Do I have to throw a bowling match this time? She taps my chest. Speaking of that, you still owe me a rematch. I promise you'll get one, but will you come with me? Gino is such a capricious ass, I say, then hold up my palm. Wait, ass is good, we decided. He's a capricious weasel, and he's just jerking me around. But even so, I need to play the game and go, and I'd really like for you to be there. Of course I'll go, and as for Gino, fuck him. I point at her, my eyes lighting up. Hey, that's another one. Why is fuck an insult? That's an excellent point. Right? Everyone says fuck him, fuck this, fuck off. But fucking is pretty much the greatest thing on earth. We'll start a new dictionary. We'll take back the word fuck and we'll turn it into, I know, we'll say it like a blessing. I soften my voice and make it sound reverent and adoring. Fuck you, my child. Go in peace. Or, she says, her voice rising in excitement, we can use it when we like something. Fuck can go into our dictionary as like. I curl my hand over her hip. Hey, you know what, Harper? Fuck showers. I take her to the shower and introduce her to the tiled wall, as well as my bottomless appetite for her. She's pretty ravenous, too, and it's fantastic to have her again as the water slides down my back and her legs wrap around me, and she falls apart once more in my arms. When she comes down from her high, she whispers in my ear, softly, sweetly, fuck you. I laugh lightly. Fuck you, too. Chapter 26. I don't know how I'm going to resist her, Wyatt says with lustful longing in his voice the next morning in Central Park. Natalie? He shakes his head. Little Cocoa Puff, look at her. How am I not supposed to take her home? She could fit in my tool belt, he says, practically cooing as he gestures to the chocolate minpin he's walking. By my side is a dachshund mix. You don't even wear a tool belt, I say, as we turn down a path. You just love to hold on to the handyman image, even though you're behind a desk half the time. What can I say? I'm good with tools, as well as juggling my growing empire. Then you should take Cocoa Puff home with you, I say, goading him on as I point to the pooch. Think about how much help she can give you when it comes to women. She's a chick magnet, and let's be honest, I drape an arm over his shoulder sympathetically. You need all the help you can get, Woody. Randy, he retaliates with a huff, our parents gave us the worst middle names. I laugh, pretty sure they wanted to torture us, starting at birth. He stops in the middle of the path and gives me some sort of knowing eye inspection. But let's not talk about middle names. Let's talk about... Hey, how about girls with alliterative names? H.H.? You know what alliteration is? I ask, deflecting as I wind the dog leash tighter around my wrist. He shakes his head dismissively. I do. In addition to a working brain, I also have a powerful nose to sniff out your bullshit, he says, and I pretend to be preoccupied with the dachshund's exploration of a bush. Wyatt soldiers on, his voice stripped free of sarcasm or our usual trash talk. When are you going to say something to Spencer? About what? I scowl. I'm doing an awesome job feigning confusion. He laughs. Come on, man. Drop the act. I know there's something between you and Harper. I saw you dancing with her. It was just dancing. Just dancing, just kissing, just fucking, just the best nights of my life. My chest warms with memories of the last few nights with Harper. Wyatt sighs. Nick, he says, and I can tell he's serious since he's using my first name. I saw her coming to your apartment last week. I saw you dancing with her at the wedding. I saw the way you looked at her on the train. Alarm bells go off. We were so cautious. Could my brother tell something was up just by looking at us? If you like her, just say something, he adds,
as if it's the simplest thing in the world. I scoff. Because it's not that simple. Harper and I aren't doing something that needs to be discussed or approved. We're not going anywhere beyond the bedroom. I don't even have to ask her to know her feelings on that topic. They're crystal clear and have been from the moment I witnessed her secret language with men at Piece of Cake. Not only do her actions speak clearly, but so do her words. For starters, she acts normal around me. She's never once fumbled on words or turned into a hot mess with me, as she does with Simon. On top of that, the woman has been amazingly specific when it comes to voicing what she wants. She asked me point blank for dating help with other guys. Then she kicked it up a notch and requested lessons in sex and seduction. She never expressed an interest in having me as her boyfriend, and that's 100% fine with me. Best of both worlds. I'm having her in the bedroom, and we can still hang out together when these lessons come to an end after this week. There's not anything to say. It's just not like that with her, I explain with a casual shrug. Wyatt brings his dog to heel by his side. Listen, you can tell yourself it was just dancing, but you're not fooling me. The question is, are you fooling yourself? His question echoes. It sounds important, the way it lingers in the cool fall air, drifting through the leaves on the trees. But I've had my eyes wide open from day one. Nope, I totally know the score. He sighs. Fair enough. But in a few days, Spencer will return, he says, reminding me of the expiration date. I hardly need the reminder. I'm well aware that Spencer makes landfall after his honeymoon in Hawaii after midnight on Sunday. 6 nights from now. But who's counting? And you need to think about the fact that you've got something going on with his little sister, Wyatt adds. The sooner you figure out what it is, the better off you'll be. But Spencer is out of sight, out of mind. He's on the other side of the world, and I don't need to worry about him right now, despite what his cat and my brother might think. Chapter 27. The next few nights roll by in a haze of orgasms for Harper, and hey, I'm not complaining that I get to have plenty too. Turns out Harper's quite a giver, and she insists on working on her blowjob technique. Who am I to deny the woman her practical training? If she likes taking me in her mouth, she should damn well avail herself of the opportunity. Blowjobs from Harper just might be proof that somewhere, in some other lifetime, I was a very good person. That's the only way I can possibly explain what I did to deserve the reward of her wicked mouth on my cock. Like right now, on Wednesday night, she lies on her back on my bed, her head extended over the edge of the mattress, her hands clutched to my hips as I stand deep in her throat, pumping my hips. With her neck stretched like that, I can see the outline of my dick as she sucks. She loves trying new positions, like bent over the couch last night, like 69 earlier this evening, though it was closer to 61 since she was riding my face so blissfully. She couldn't keep me in her mouth. And this one, too, the upside-down blowjob. The best part? It's not how spectacular this feels, though trust me, she sends me straight to some kind of ecstatic oblivion with her tongue and lips and mouth. The best part is how I can tell how much she likes it by the way her back bows off the bed, and how she rocks her hips up and down. I'm loving everything, too. The way her hair spills wildly over the covers, how her nails dig into my flesh, and most of all, how when she moans, she's literally humming around my dick as she sucks me hard. I'm moaning, too. That's the problem. I could come in another minute if I let her go on like this, but I just can't. I'm not that selfish. I love her orgasms more than my own. Even as a fresh round of pleasure crashes into me, I find the will, Herculean task though it is, to pull my dick out of her lush mouth. Her eyes are dazed as she stares at me upside down. Sit on me, dirty princess, I tell her as I sink down to the bed, grab a condom, and cover myself in seconds. I pull her up, then position her reverse cowgirl style on my cock. We groan in unison as I bury myself in her.
I loop my hands around her and cup her tits as she thrusts up and down, picking up the pace quickly, her back flush to my chest. "This won't take you long, will it?" I whisper in her ear. She shakes her head against me as she moans. "Play with your pussy," I instruct her. "Touch your clit as you fuck me." Her right hand slips between her legs, and she rubs as she grinds on me. "I've gotten off to you so many times, Nick." Those words send me spinning. Lust spirals in me, torquing into something more potent and powerful. Something that's born of late-night fantasies and months of longing. "Me too, Princess. I think about you all the time. I've fucked you so many times by myself." "Was it this good for you?" she asks, her breath uneven as her fingers fly over her clit and my cock pushes in and out of her tight, wet heat. "No," I grunt, as her gorgeous back slides against my chest. "Nothing compares to the real thing with you. Because she is all my fantasies, only better, so much better." "It's so good with you," she says on a broken pant. She shudders, her breath hitches, and her words come out in a hot whisper. "I'm going to come all over you." "Do it, Princess. Come on me," I growl, because she loves to talk. She loves to announce her orgasms, and she loves to tell me when she's coming, and I relish every single dirty, sweet, and filthy word to fall from her lips. She circles her hips, rubs faster, and slams down hard as she cries out, "Oh God, oh God, oh God!" Her sounds and her shudders flip the switch, and I follow her to my own sweet annihilation. My entire body jerks as my climax crashes over me, assaulting me with pleasure. I groan against her neck. "You kill me, Harper," I say roughly in her ear. "I come so hard with you, you know that?" She sighs, a sexy murmur telling me how much she likes hearing those words. "I love it when you come," she says in a breathless admission. "I love hearing your noises. I love the way you grip me tighter. How your breathing goes wild." It's such an intimate moment, unraveling for someone, letting go of all control. And yeah, giving orgasms is my favorite hobby, but it's fucking awesome that she wants mine so much. Maybe that's why they're so good with her. Because I feel even more. More intensity, more vulnerability. Like she knows me. "That's what you do to me," I tell her, brushing my lips to her cheek. "You make me go crazy." She leans her head back against my collarbone and loops her arms behind my head. When her fingers play with my hair, I shudder. "I love that too. What you're doing," I whisper. "I know," she says, her voice so soft. "You've always liked it when I touch your hair." Electricity sparks in my body, and I'm not sure if it's the aftershocks or some new high from what she just said. Because it's not just that she knows me, it's that she's figured me out. She's learned my likes, numerous, and my dislikes, so very few, and then my absolute favorites, and she seems to want to give me as many of those as she can. She launched into this project ready and eager to discover what she liked, but she's quickly discovered me. And hell, I'm not picky, but I have my turn-ons too. The lingerie she wears, the words she says, and the dirty things I can say to her too. "It's like you're studying me," I say, something like wonder in my tone. "Maybe I am. Does that bother you?" I scoff. "God, no." She pushes her back to me. "I like giving you what you want." I press my lips together, holding in my words. "You're what I want. All of you." A little later, after we clean up, she takes my hand and tugs me to the kitchen. "I bought you a present tonight." Her eyes twinkle. "Another present?" I ask, reining in a grin. I love her gifts. She nods. "I slipped it into your freezer when I arrived." "How did you do that without me seeing?" She rolls her eyes and flashes her hands. "Nick, it's what I do. Sleight of hand, misdirection." She opens the freezer and takes out a pint of mint chocolate chip ice cream. "Your favorite," she says with a smile. I can't help but grin too, because this girl. I wanted to just screw her out of my system. I desperately needed to just focus on the sex, but every little thing she does is magic to me. Lingerie, ice cream, shower, showrooms. And the way she talks to me in the heat of the moment, opening up, sharing, making herself so vulnerable. I nearly let myself believe this can go on, and that we can eat ice cream together every night. Okay, maybe not every night. Gotta stay in fighting shape. But enough nights. Only, that's not what she wants. The here and now will have to be enough, so I'm going to just enjoy every second of this time with her until it ends. With a sly grin, I back her up to the fridge, sneak a quick kiss, then steal the ice cream. No fair, she says, trying to grab it back. If you're good, I'll share, I tease as I hold the pint high, open the utensil drawer, and take out two spoons. You better share, she says, and then she eats mint chocolate chip ice cream naked with me on the couch. I kiss her, and yes, the taste of the ice cream on her tongue is as good as I once imagined. Wait, I'm wrong. It's better. Everything with her is. That's why I give her a gift, too. It's a small thing, but it's something she told me she wanted. I grab the Sunday crossword puzzle from my coffee table and hold it up in front of my chest, as if it's a plaque I received to honor an accomplishment. Voila. Finished it today. Is this for me? I nod proudly. It is. Aw. You're like a kitty cat bringing me a dead mouse that you killed. I laugh at her analogy. Would you like to pet me in approval? I would, she says, running one hand through my hair and talking to me the way she did to Fido. You hunted all the words. I'm so proud of you. With her other hand, she turns over the newsprint. What's this? I tense momentarily when I see a gray outline. What was I doodling on the back of the crossword? She tilts the page at me, and it's a cartoon of a puppet wearing a tight top, breasts spilling out. The bubble by her mouth reads, How to Send Naughty Texts, a Dirty Puppet Tutorial. Nick? One corner of her lip quirks up. I had no idea you learned all your skills from puppets. I laugh. Relieved that she didn't uncover a drawing of her, just of her co-stars in the doodles she inspired. I wiggle my fingers. Don't underestimate the filth appeal to a cartoonist of something you operate with your fingers. She laughs. You are so bad. Tell me more about your puppets, Mr. Dirty Cartoonist. I would, Miss Naughty Magician, but it might be hard for me to talk when my tongue is all over your hot body, I say. Then I spoon some ice cream onto her nipple and lick it off. Then on her belly, where I run my tongue across the cool dessert on her skin. She practically purrs. Soon, the ice cream left in the pint is melting, and Harper is too, as I travel down her body and shut myself up in my most favorite way in the universe. If I don't keep my mouth occupied, I'll tell her about all the times I've drawn her, and then she'll know how hard it will be for me to let her go. Even though this isn't supposed to be difficult at all. This little fling should be the easiest thing in the world. Only it's not. Chapter 28. I'm beating her, and that drives Harper batty. I can pull ahead, I know I can, she says, as she joins me at the scoring bench, after only knocking over 5 pins in her frame. We're at a bowling alley just above 101st Street, not far from her house. It's our rematch, and we decided it was best not to frequent neon lanes and risk running into Jason. I blow on my fingers. I'm on fire tonight, Princess. It's going to be pretty hard to beat me. But before I can stand up to take my turn, Harper plops her adorable little ass on my lap. She laces her arms around my neck. I shake my head. Don't think you can knock me off my game by being so damn cute. Cute? I'm cute? Hot, I whisper in her ear. Hot, sexy, gorgeous, good enough to eat. Come to think of it, I kind of want to eat you up now. She laughs, swatting my shoulder. You want to do that a lot, Nick, she says. I know, I do, and I also know you're trying to make me lose by talking about this stuff. Let me play, woman. She slinks onto the green vinyl seat next to mine, and I proceed to knock 9 pins down, putting even more distance between Harper and me on the scorecard. She shoots me a steely glare as I return to her. As she rises, I grab her arm and pull her back to me. You tried to distract me, my turn to distract you.
Ha! Just you wait till softball season returns, I'll really distract you then.
I smirk. Too bad we're on the same team. She sneers at me and snaps her fingers.
Damn it.
Then she beams.
That's okay. I do kind of like watching you hit the home runs.
I straighten my shoulders because I am good at knocking in all the runners. Then reality smacks me hard. Next summer, I'll be playing on the same team with her when these lessons are over and she's moved on. Maybe some other dude will watch her play, meet up with her after the games, take her out. A wave of rabid jealousy rolls through me. I try to swallow it down, but I'm keenly aware that even if we haven't set an official expiration date on our project, there is one. Sure, we might like each other enough to bowl, to go out to dinner, and to share ice cream, but neither one of us expects to cheer the other one on in softball next summer as secret lovers. That's what we are now. But when this ends, we go back to being Spencer's best friend and Spencer's sister. I drag my hand through my hair as something like guilt mixed with shame takes up residence in me. Spencer's on his honeymoon, and I'm fucking his little sister behind his back. I try to imagine his reaction if he walked in on this scene right now. We're snuggled up in a bowling alley, and he'd have every reason to be pissed. I'm not being honest with him, and the guy has been my best friend since the start of high school. I helped him brainstorm plans for the app he launched that made him millions. I went to opening night at the first lucky spot he started, and I stood by him when he promised to love Charlotte for the rest of his life. What if he discovered this tryst and was so pissed that I lost him as a friend? I fight like hell to push the unpleasant image from my brain. But wait. What if that didn't happen? For the first time, I let the scene play out with a new opening act, with me saying something to him. What if I told him I liked his sister? What if he knew these crazy feelings inside me were real? Would he freak out if he knew I cared about her, or not? But hell, I'm getting ahead of myself. Harper isn't interested in re-upping after these next few nights. My chest tightens as the clock ticks in my head. It's Thursday, and we only have a few more days. Better just enjoy the hell out of this time. No need to dwell on what-ifs. Harper runs a finger against my temple.
How well do you see without your glasses? She asks, cocking her head to the side.
I laugh at her out-of-left-field question. I see okay without them, but worlds better with them.
Did you ever want to try contacts?
She gently touches the frame. They're not special. Just simple black glasses. I tried them. I don't really like putting something in my eyes.
What about LASIK?
I shake my head. I like my eyes. What if I was the 1% it didn't work for and my vision was messed up?
That hardly happens.
Hardly is not never.
True.
Do you not like my glasses? I ask curiously, as the woman in the lane next to us nails a strike. Harper's eyes widen.
I love them. I think they're panty-meltingly hot.
I groan from the mere mention of her panties. Do they melt yours? She lowers her voice.
You know the answer to that. It's yes.
Good answer, I say, then brush a finger along the edge of her eye. What about you, though? You had those glasses in your purse at the bookstore, but I've never seen you wear them before. Were they prop glasses? She shakes her head as the nearby machine scoops up the fallen pins.
They're real, but I wear contacts all the time. I have horrible vision without my contacts, so I bring the glasses along just in case I ever need them.
I also carry a fake pair that I'm going to use for a new magic trick. I tilt my head to the side, curious to hear what she's working on. What kind of trick? She leans in closer and speaks softly in my ear.
The kind where I'm a sexy librarian?
And suddenly I have no interest in finishing this game anymore. She shelves a book in her tiny studio. With her red hair twisted in a clip, she stretches her arm, standing on tiptoe in her heels, sliding a book back in place. I catch a glimpse of her stockings. They're white, and she's slipped on a tight white button-down, too, as well as a hip-hugging black pencil skirt. Oh my, I can't seem to reach the highest shelf, she says. Need some help? I offer. She turns around, roams her bespectacled gaze over me, and quirks up the corner of her lips.
Why, yes, please. I would love it so much if you could grab that book, she says, pointing to the coffee table.
She bends over, giving me the most fantastic glimpse of cleavage I've ever seen in my life. Her shirt is only half buttoned, so I have a perfect view of the fuchsia lace bra that hugs those beauties. I grab the book, never once taking my eyes off the creamy flesh and the swell of her tits.
Now, she says, gesturing to the highest shelf, I might need to stand on something.
I grab a wooden chair from her breakfast table, slide it over, and pat it. She runs her finger over my beard.
Such a helpful library patron. The helpful ones are my favorite.
I swing my eyes to her ass. What I think would help you most is if you hike up that skirt.
Would you be so kind as to do that for me? She asks, batting her eyelashes.
So naughty, so playful, so damn sexy. I tug her skirt to her hips, then hold out a hand, watching as she stands on the chair, her legs and ass on display. She's wearing a fucking thong. Jesus Christ, I mutter, and I can't help myself. I'm nearly at face level with this gorgeous ass, so I bend and bite her cheek as she shelves the book. I groan and squeeze her flesh, my voice low and dirty. The things I want to do to this ass. The things I want to do to your whole fucking body. She trembles against my touch, gasping and breaking character, but hell, I've already broken it. She blinks at me, her eyes saying, holy shit. Then she returns to the roll, turning around, wagging a finger at me.
No touching permitted in the public shelves. That's only allowed in the quiet corner of the library, and only if you show the librarian.
She trails off as she bends down, cups a hand around my ear, and whispers hotly,
your long, thick cock.
This woman. Wildfire twists in my veins, torching me. I'm up in flames, hard as steel, and aching to have her. In seconds I strip to nothing, loving the way her eyes slide over my naked body, my chest, my arms, my abs, my dick. I drag a fist down my length, swipe my thumb across the head, and the drop of my arousal there, and then press that thumb between her red lips. She sucks off a taste of me and moans heavily around my finger. I grab her hips, lift her off the chair, and set her on the floor. Then I park myself on the seat and nod at the condom on the coffee table. This is the quiet corner of the library until you start making those wild, sexy sounds. She grabs the packet and returns to me, opening it. As she takes it out, I yank down her panties, and lust seizes me as I catch my first glimpse of her pussy. So slick and silky and shimmering with evidence of her desire. She runs her hand over my dick, a purr of approval escaping her lips as she feels how hard I am for her.
Nick, you need to show me how to put it on you, she says in a voice that's quiet but full of heat.
Not gonna lie, I love that she's no expert in this. I take the condom from her, making sure it's going on the right way. Pinch the tip, I tell her, and she nods and does as told. Now roll it down, I say, and with a small grin, she does the job. I point to my hard-on and give her an order. Now get the fuck on my dick. She shivers and then straddles me and sinks down in one smooth motion. Jesus Christ, Harper. A shudder racks my body as she rises up on me, then strokes back. You turn me on so much, I mutter. In the understatement of the century.
Just like you do to me,
she says on a gasp as she rides my shaft, her hands curling tightly over my shoulders. She's fully dressed except for her panties, and I'm completely naked, and I love the power exchange. So fucking hot. My sexy librarian is so fucking hot, I say.
Why is this your fantasy?
I can't think straight, can't answer with any intelligence. But I don't need to when the answer is elementary. Don't know, it just is. I drop my hands to her bare ass, squeezing and drawing out a series of quick little gasps. Why do you like it when I touch your ass?
I don't know, she answers with a broken breath. I just do.
Just like, just is, just do. That's what we are. We are electric, and it's just that way. I bring my